Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, June 11th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Various countries, including Zimbabwe, signed a political declaration to continue fighting the HIV/AIDS scourge.
The major highlight is that we think that our reason for being here, our purpose has been achieved. The major reason why we were here was to witness the signing of this political declaration by all countries.
And as usual, we'll focus on issues affecting girls and women. Stay tuned. The 2016 high-level meeting on ending AIDS ended yesterday at the United Nations General Assembly, with member countries including Zimbabwe signing a political declaration committing to find ways of ending the disease. Lois Chingandu of the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service tells Studio 7's Mavela Simhlanganya-Huye that she is confident that the Zimbabwean government will implement some of the recommendations that came out of the meeting.
The major thing is that the political declaration has been endorsed.
What is in this declaration that you think will benefit Zimbabwe, especially people living with HIV/AIDS in the country?
There were about four issues that we were really looking for. The first issue was the issue of food treatment. We wanted to see the issue of treatment continue to remain on the agenda. So that is there. The second issue is that of women and our young girls. As you know, that for us in Zimbabwe, this is a very special population in terms of infection. So that also went into the document. The third area was the issue of financing for HIV, because, you know, ideas are good, but in the absence of money, you cannot deliver on the ideas. So we also got a commitment in the declaration around financing, both external financing by the bigger donors, but also a commitment from local leaders, including our own, for domestic financing.
That was the director of SAFAIDS, Lois Chingandu, speaking with Studio 7's Mavela Simhlanganya-Huye from New York, USA. Zimbabwean teachers have described as progressive a labor court's ruling that the government should reinstate vacation leave days for educationists who were recalled from leave under unclear circumstances sometime this year. The court declared as null and void the move taken by the respondents that included the Ministers of Education and Finance, Civil Service Commission and Secretary of Education. Takabafira Joe of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that teachers who were affected will have to fill vacation leave cancellation forms.
We just want one battle, that the teachers must get back their leave days, and that they must fill in leave forms to reclaim their leave days that have been actually taken by the employer. But we hope that the employer would be sensitive to the plight of teachers and realize that as employees, teachers have the right to go on leave.
And who is going to bear the cost of this court action?
Well, the ruling is the fact that the cost must be paid by the employer, who comprise Minister of Public, Minister of Labour, Minister of Civil Service, as well as the Minister of Education. And this is why we really implore with the employer that there is no need for intransigence, because ultimately the government will lose more money going to court, losing the court, and then paying, rather than just allowing teachers to enjoy their leave.
That was Mr. Takabafira Joe speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. There was no comment from the Ministers of Education and Finance, Civil Service Commission, and the Secretary of Education. In our show, Girls, Youth and Development, this evening we are talking about labor issues, and our reporter Gioness Ojani starts today's conversation.
Hello, Zimbabwe. Today we have Talking Girls, Young Women and Development with Nyari Mashayamombe and Daphne Jenna from her Zimbabwe. Hello, Nyari.
Hi, Chuaniso, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Chuaniso, how are you?
I'm fine. Nyari, what's the question you have for us today?
Thank you very much, Chuaniso. Today, Daphne and I are going to talk about the vulnerabilities that women have had to go through as a result of the introduction or the amendment of the labor bill that allows the employers to change or to give 3 months notice to their employees. So I'm just going to go straight up and talk to Daphne. Let me know what you think about the new development. I think we read the Herald today.
Today, there was a report that the leading trade unions presented a report to Parliament that there is some sexual harassment happening in the banking sector, where managers are threatening refuse to give them sexual favors to put by saying, I'll put you on top or I'll include you on the termination list. Because right now, companies are going through a process where they put employees on a termination list where you know you've got 3 months notice. After 3 months, you don't have a job. So now, because most of these people who are in the powerful positions are men, they are now going to young women and saying, either you give me what I want, which are generally sexual favors, or you're on the list and you are going home. This is only worsening the plight of women.
In the 80s, when we won Zimbabwe, there's been a lot of work that has been put in to make sure that there's equality at work, that women are protected. Do you think that the current development kind of takes away from the gains that had been done within the industry to ensure that there was equality between men and women? Do you feel like this has been gainful or it's going backwards?
I personally think it's going backwards because some of the solutions we've had, experience has shown that some of them were outdated. Because yes, you can have a policy in a working space that says if you're sexually harassed, you can go and report. But there is a whole long process that will go on for you to get a hearing, for the case to be taken up, and for someone to be convicted of being that. And we have to prove that is what happened. And now if someone has to compare whether they are going to lose their job if they lose the case. And right now things are hard out there. And these are services are very expensive for most women considering their paychecks. So this is taking away the gain, and we actually need to improve on the solutions we have to do so that we will not have these cases happening in the near future.
When this bill was introduced, there was such an urgency. It was just done under closed doors. There was no public inquiry in the labor bill. Would you think that maybe had there been an inclusion of women in the process, maybe this bill would have been better, even the development would have been better?
I think it would have been, because I always think that experience is the best teacher. So if you don't include someone who goes through certain experiences to contribute to a bill or a policy, everybody else who contributes will only be thinking about what they go through and what works for them. So if you don't include the women who actually go in through the processes, who know how it feels, who know how it happens, even the provisions to make sure they are protected will not be included. And I really think had they been consulted and found very important to be part of the deal, I'm sure we'd have had a different result.
And I think it's high time as Zimbabweans begin to hold our government accountable to make sure that the decisions that are being made by a few are not made, because this is a flawed system that is robbing us a lot. And I think we need to explore more of the processes that are being made in terms of the decisions that are made for the masses.
That was Nyaratso Mashamombe, director of Take a Life International, an organization fighting for the rights of girls and women, Daphne Jenna of Hair Zimbabwe, and Studio 7 reporter Chioniso Chani on the show Girls, Youth and Development. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
30 soldiers from Niger and 2 from Nigeria were killed in a Boko Haram attack by hundreds of assailants on June 3rd on the southeastern town of Bosso, close to the border with Nigeria. The United States condemns in the strongest terms Boko Haram's barbaric attack on the military in Niger. In addition to the soldiers killed in the onslaught, 67 individuals were injured. This latest attack, said the State Department in a written statement, further underscores Boko Haram's blatant disregard for the people of the Lake Chad Basin area. It was the deadliest attack carried out in Niger by the Islamic terrorist group since April 2015, when at least 74 people, including 28 civilians, were killed at the Lake Chad island of Karamga. Boko Haram has been fighting since 2009 to establish an Islamic caliphate in Nigeria, adhering to strict Sharia law. About 2.3 million people have been displaced and thousands have been killed during the seven-year insurgency. Basso is in Niger's Diffa region, where many people have sought sanctuary from Boko Haram violence. Boko Haram attacks in the area began in February 2015, with increased violence since April 2016, according to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. As many as 40,000 refugees are moving to safer environments and are in need of humanitarian aid. The United States stands by its partners in Niger, Nigeria, Chad, and Cameroon, and supports their efforts to fight and defeat Boko Haram. These countries, in addition to Benin, have contributed troops to a 9,000-strong regional task force dedicated to fighting the terrorist group. International cooperation and a comprehensive approach remain vital components of this unified effort to bring lasting peace and security to the region and defeat to the terrorists.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined on the program by the director of the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, SAFAIDS, Lois Shingandu. Mrs. Shingandu was in Washington, where she was attending the 2016 high-level meeting on ending AIDS, which was held at the United Nations General Assembly and ended yesterday. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Shingandu.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your organization. What does SAFAIDS do?
SAFAIDS, we are a regional organization that has been involved in fighting HIV, gender-based violence, and the treatment issues for many, many years. We have now been in operation for about 21 years now. Mainly, we work primarily in Zimbabwe, but we also work in countries outside Zimbabwe. But when we are in Zimbabwe, we work in most of the districts. We target mostly women. We are also targeting traditional and religious leaders. We are also targeting men, so that is an important aspect of fighting HIV.
You were saying that one of the major roles of why you were in New York at the 2016 high-level HIV-AIDS meeting was to look at the interests of women and young girls. Tell us a little bit about this.
As you might be aware, that even when you take, we say when you take about 10 people that are infected living with HIV or dying from HIV, you will find that about 54% of that will be women and young girls. So it is very, very important that when we are talking about HIV, we put this group in the center, because we have to make sure that they are protected from HIV. However, there are other things that drive HIV towards women. So we also have to look at that. That is why when I talk of us working with traditional leaders, with religious leaders, we are looking at some of the cultural practices that we feel contribute to increasing HIV around women. Issues of gender-based violence, we can never really forget those, because we know in our countries that gender-based violence still remains a real problem.
There may be some women and young girls listening out there who want to be inspired about your own story. Who is Lois Shingandu?
Lois Shingandu is the executive director of SAFAIDS, who is also a mother and a wife, and who has also come previously from a difficult marriage and was able to come out of that relationship. What I can advise a lot of women and young girls is that we should never give up on our life. We should always know that we ourselves have the power to shape our own future. We should not wait for someone to come from somewhere to empower you or to tell you what to do. We have that power inside us. But sometimes we don't know that. And we can sit in a relationship for many, many years knowing that this relationship is not working. It is putting me at risk. But we continue because we fear, you know, we have this fear of taking decisions. My advice is that we should not. And I want to encourage young women to say the game changer for any woman's life is education. Never compromise on education. As much as possible, keep on going to school because that's what is going to make a difference.
And some will also ask, how are you managing being the director, the mother, and a wife?
It's really a challenge, particularly being an African woman, because while you are expected to be this superwoman, you are supposed to be the best director at work, the best wife, the best mother, the best daughter-in-law, the best daughter of someone. And sometimes all those multiple expectations can really overwhelm you. And so in my own experience, I have had sometimes to really make tough choices because you can't be the best of all. Something has to be compromised. And the important thing is you have to discuss with your family so that your children, your husband, they understand that you have these huge demands also at work. Because when I get home, for example, in the evening, I might want to cook for my family, but I might also have huge documents that I need to read before I walk into a meeting the following day. And so to avoid people saying, oh, female directors are not effective, because people will know if you walk into a meeting without reading a document. So your family sometimes needs to understand that you are not going to be able to do all the things that an ideal mother needs to do. But when, for example, it's a weekend, it's a holiday, I try to compensate and try to fill in those gaps. But it can be really, really tough.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Lois Chingandu, the director of SAFAIDS, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Hello, Zimbabwe. I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage. And today we have a special guest all the way from Washington, D.C. And his name is Masipula Sithole. And he is also the founder of Rhythm for Recovery. Hi, Masi.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Great. Masi, tell us, what is Rhythm for Recovery all about?
This is a project that I've been piloting over the past few years. It's a passion of mine. We're trying to put the magic of music into people's lives, primarily through the tom piano and the mbira and the kalimba. Trying to share that with the schools, the hospitals.
Are you saying that mbira and kalimba have healing effects? I hear you talking about hospital and recovery.
Absolutely. One of the hidden treasures from our tradition that the world needs to get in touch with. And it's been very exciting for me. Very inspired, brings a lot of smiles to people. And it's been a wonderful journey thus far. May was Mental Health Month nationwide. A lot of the organizations were honoring people who face the challenge of mental illness or mental infirmity. And so the event that I was able to coordinate was a workshop looking at wellness and trying to share with people, not just my story, but create a space for them to share, you know, their struggles. And it was a chance for the community here in DC to come together for a couple of hours just to share what was on their chest, trying to promote sound mindedness through the music. I've been in the diaspora for a good 20 years now. I'm really dreaming about the day when I can return home. One-way ticket. back home.
You know, it's so funny that you are a Zimbabwean. You don't want to be in America. You want to go home. And that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Home is home. There are a lot of things from Zimbabwe that I miss. The music, the language, being in an ET, you know. Really some of the things that I need to recover are my language. Strange at times, stressful at times, that I speak Shabby Shona. I should really be bilingual to promote the music.
Can you play a bit of your mbira, please? Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
That was Masipula, and I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
That's all what we have today in Zimbabwe. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.